free ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again.
Okay. Hi, everyone. NBL Pocket Podcast coming to you Monday, 29th of September. We're recording this about 10 p.m. on the East Coast, which makes it 8 o'clock on the West Coast, if I'm right, Kenyon. We're going to jump straight in. Kenyon is back. This is most exciting.
I'm back. And I was so excited. Oh, didn't like hearing the podcast without my voice. I'm like, nah, I'm back.
Can't have it. Plus, the Patreon percentage was getting askew. But more the point, we would... talking before this, we said, what are we going to talk about first? And we decided the NBL app, we're going to shit on this thing. Let's start there. We will be looking at each team and going through our early thoughts, but right now it's NBL app. Kenyon, when I say the NBL app, what word, one word springs to mind?
Shit.
It's shit, isn't it? It is effing shit.
It really is shit.
What makes it shit?
You think every year you think, oh, this might be the year when they get it right. No. Okay, it starts with the splash screen. How many apps do you have that has like a 10-second splash screen before it actually
as
loads
in when
the
you
app?
Open it is up, it shows Will Hickey's face being like, live large or whatever NBL is, and then it goes into the material?
It's Will Hickey now. That had to push a quick app update on that one.
And he's hurt. But it's an improvement. But yeah, it comes up and that you sit on that screen, you're like, okay, yep. And then it opens up on the main screen. And well, I'll ask this question of you, Kenyon. When you go to an app, well, let's say you go to an NBL app, what do you want to see from that app and what is it not delivering?
Okay, well, I want to see what game is up next.
100%.
Is that too much to ask?
So you log in, you're like, what's happening? The most instantaneous important news straight up. Cool.
Yep, yeah. So when's the next game scheduled to start?
Or if it's in process, where are we at? Exactly, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
And it doesn't do that, does it?
No. I mean, at least they've updated it to a point where a couple of weeks ago it was defaulting you to like round one on the roster tickers. Seems like they fixed that, but for every fix, there's another bug.
Mm. And then what else? So you want the most important news straight in your face, as in what games are coming up or in progress, and what's the next important thing for you?
I'd like to see the ladder, potentially a live ladder, if we can pull that off.
Okay.
That would be good. And I kind of want to see some... I mean, this is the thing, stat leaders, right?
Yeah.
I kind of want to see
leaders,
that.
Stat leaders, box scores. That's my second thing. I want to be able to say, oh, there's a game in progress. Click, box score, who's doing well? Or even just at a glance, like, who's got the most points, rebounds, maybe some sort of insight into the flow of the game. If an app does that, I'm not very choosy. I'm not very picky about apps. I'm like, just what games are going on? Who's playing well? Give me a slight sense of the game. And then the rest I can kind of investigate for myself. And the NBL app fails in both. And it's madness. And we're not sort of, as we say, we're not picky about this sort of stuff. But apps are important. I mean, it's the first thing they tell you to do. Any sports league, and the AFL is probably paramount in this, is you get a new person watching the thing and they go, hey, download the app. And it's the best way to communicate with your fan if you're the league, and the best way for the fan to communicate with the league. And it's just so embarrassing for the NBL to have a bad app. You log in and try and look at box scores and they just don't come up. Or you click on a game, like I was watching the Adelaide game, and I'm trying to see what Cotton's at, and it just wouldn't load the score and who's scoring. And gosh, like I just thought if you're new to the sport, I mean, we've got an appetite or we've got a patience because we're rested on at this point. But if you're a new fan of the sport and you got to wait and it's broken, like you're out the door. Hey, you're gone.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand, what's the logjam? Why is this fucked up?
I know. And when you, like, I was going into the game had finished the other night and I wanted to check the stats and it was stuck on halftime, like halftime stats. I'm like, why is it? It's not halftime. The game is over.
And this is not highlights and video. This is text, just up to date text. So you're more techie than I. If you had to suppose what's the issue, what is the issue?
I honestly don't. Well, I think probably what the issue is, it's they're shoehorning the web situation. They're trying to take a framework which they use for NBL 1, they're using for NBL, and they're using for all the NBL 1 divisions. Then I imagine they're probably using it for WNBL. Every team has the same kind of app as a placeholder. So I think what it is, it's like it's just this gigantic framework that is trying to pull in data from all these different places, and it's just choking. Mm. That would be my guess. I don't really know.
No. But the other thing as well, they can't diversify blame, because I looked at who made it, and I was looking around the app expecting to see, you know.
Oh, it's the pillow company, was it?
Homey or whatever it was. And I was looking around for, like, you know, clickyclicky.com or whatever the fuck. And this is an in-house NBL product, and they've sabotaged themselves. So,
man.
And then
I noticed the box scores have changed this year. The look of them, like, it seems that like they've ditched the FIBA one or whatever, and it's like a homegrown box score app.
Yeah,
I reckon that's probably half the problem.
So they've maybe gone graphics heavy or just doing something, whatever it is. And I hope they work it out. It's early season to work out. But as I say, we don't mind so much. But it's the new fan who's just going to go, like, what is this rinky-dink product? Like, I'm out. I'm out, you know?
Yeah.
And so they
got it's got those weird, like, sort of like semi-Instagram kind of videos as well.
Yeah.
Like, what's that all about? I never look at those.
I don't look at them either.
They just get in my way.
Maybe some people do. But I'm like, an app should do maybe three things. Show you what action is taking, the games are going on, and where you can buy tickets. Yep. And it doesn't do that. It used to. Or at least it should, and it's busted and broken. Box scores at a glance, and then third one is kind of like, you know, merchandise and a few sales and what's the something going on. Just nail the basics, NBL. Just get the basics down and then worry about adding stuff on. And hopefully I'm going to keep my eye on LinkedIn, and when it happens, when they put up, like, you know, a job for app developer, you know, contract, a three-month contract with the potential for longer, I'll be like, that's going to make me laugh, because you need it right now. You need to bring in someone or some people to fix it, and the fix should be simple enough. I mean, there's good apps out there. Just tap the AFL on the shoulder and go, your app
is just look at the AFL one.
It's serviceable. Yeah. The AFL doesn't win any awards, by the way. It's not the best app in the world, but it shows you what games are on, shows you the box score. You can get a sense of every game going on. It's fast. Yeah. It operates fast. And the AFL doesn't know what to do with its highlights packages. That's one issue with them. Mm. But the basics, they tick. And then, okay, we'll move on to the other stuff. But the NBL right now is falling at hurdle one, just clashing, just running straight through hurdle one and the hurdles around their ankles as they try and make the turn.
And you're saying the app, of course. I mean, I'm not looking at the app at the moment as I talk to you. I'm actually looking at the website, and it's the same. It's the same content, right? But it's all the same problems.
Really?
The website is no better.
Okay. All right. Well, at least you know it's maybe a tear down, build up job. But just tap. You've tried to do it in-house. It hasn't. I'm telling you now, if you're listening to the NBL, just hasn't gone right. Sometimes you whiff, you know, sometimes it happens. Take a step back, spend a bit of cash, hire an outside professional, fix this thing. There's so many tech nerds in the NBL space, love them to death. Just go tap them on the shoulder and just fix the app, please, for your own good, because new fans of the sport are going to turn their back. Ready to jump along? I mean, I actually wanted to fire this one at you quickly. Like, LK has sold out of pretty much all the teams that sort of, I don't know if we touched on this late last year, but Kesselman sold out of just recently Melbourne United. Finally, he's dusted his paws.
Is he fully out now?
Mr. Sansoni steps in. Mr. Franchise, Mr. Mogul is the primary and only owner at Melbourne United. Right. Do you think this is all – I want to ask you a two-pronged question. Is it because LK is like, oh, geez, NBL, I've had enough a little bit? I know he still owns the league, but he's kind of like, oh, I'm looking to, you know, spread less of myself across this league. Or is it a result of this Illawarra Hawks owner who's pushing back and – Kesselman's going, oh, geez, I'm in a bit of the firing line here. I'm going to step back. What do you think?
Well, you're probably right. There probably is a strong part of that. Is he flogged off the Tasmania one yet?
Sold that late last year. Yep, so Melbourne most recently, and a bit of Brisbane, I believe he had some in. So I believe he is out of everything. And I say this, like, he might have just created a, you know, funky little PTY LTD third party that's owned by someone else that's acting on his behalf. That could easily happen as well.
Or
have something, but on the face of it, he's out of these things. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's good that he's out. It's never a good look.
No.
And obviously the other owners don't like it. I think you're right. I think that Illawarra situation, it's all gone quiet on that front. So maybe they worked something out.
Very much. The water is still, but underneath, it's like a simmering pot. There's still, that's yet to be determined. That's still going on.
But let me ask you this, Joe. How do you get rich?
You don't get rich by writing checks.
Well, you get rich by buying low and selling high.
Yeah, true.
And so he bought low. What did he buy the whole league for, like 10 million bucks or something
nothing.
Like that?
Yeah, really, really nothing.
So now he's sold three teams, each of them for probably 40 mil or whatever the current going rate is on a team. I have to ask
Mark Arena. Yeah, I'm always skeptical about those prices, but that makes sense. But also, got the commission to build a stadium in Tasmania. I mean, how much money would he have pocketed off that? That would have paid for everything, more than all the little sales of the clubs. Building one stadium, he's probably pocketed $100 million. I don't know.
He's always about the property, LK.
Yeah, of course.
That's his.
And if the NBL can be a part of that, makes sense in a way. It's a bit cheap, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some teams. All right. Let's do them alphabetically. And be honest, if you haven't seen them but just got a vibe of them, that's fine too. Let's talk about Adelaide.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Harold.
Yeah, because I'm not watching it. I'm not watching every game this season. I want to make that clear. Like, we're back. We're doing this podcast. I don't know how often we'll do it. Hopefully more than last season because we were a bit piss weak.
Mm.
But I'm not going to watch every game this season. I don't have time for it. I don't have the desire.
My goal is to record every 2 weeks. I think that's a good number. The NBL doesn't have enough a weekly pod. But I'm hoping to watch at least two games a weekend. At least like part of two games.
Yeah.
I think that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll be honest about that. Adelaide, I actually watched. This game I watched with intent.
So did I.
This was a great game to watch. I want to go back, reverse from Cotton and go Harrell, obviously rather unceremoniously or ceremoniously cut. Is he a plus or a minus? His departure, is that a plus or a minus for the 36ers?
You're asking me that? I would say it's actually a plus.
I concur.
The circus is gone. They can kind of lock in and get some reasonable people in that team. I couldn't see him coexisting with Bryce Cotton, who's so level-headed.
Yeah.
And I just think he couldn't handle the drama.
Doesn't play D either. Well. But was a very exciting player and all that sort of stuff, but didn't play D. And also, here's the thing. He was on that team with Kendrick Davis, who's a pretty good running mate. They'd had a losing record. And not by, a game or two. They were a losing team. I think they were 43% win percentage. They were below 50%. So it's like, and missed games due to suspension and so on and so forth. It's like, that's not how you're going to win in the NBL. Games are too important. You're not going to happen.
No, I mean, look at Cheatham. What did you think of him?
He's got a great body on him, super athletic, kind of didn't know their place. They were very much a first game team. They looked a little bit, no one quite knew each other's tendencies and strength. But he's a good player. He was solid at New Zealand when he was there. I like him. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he's great. I think he's a perfect complement. Like, he's not trying to do too much. It seems like he's willing to fit in.
Great.
And if you imagine if Harrell was there. I mean, it was hard enough watching DJ.
We got to talk about that. That's a bad marriage. He was that play at the end. You tell me about the play at the end. Is that what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yes. You could see him, DJ getting scraps all game, and then there was 4 seconds left in the game, whatever, Bryce Cotton on 39.
And he jacks it.
It gets inbounded to DJ. Bryce is basically next to him open. Could have just shuffled a pass. He could have shot it to get for the 40. But DJ looks him off, jacks the three himself, bricks it.
I thought I don't know if they got reprimanded by the coach, but that needed to happen. Surely at that point, you're just feeding the guy to get 40. Yeah, DJ took a lot of shots that weren't there, and his percentage was terrible. And he was chasing shots. And he was chasing them last year with Davis and Harrell as well. So I don't know where – I'll ask this question. Can they exist? Can they coexist, Cotton and D?
They'll coexist to the extent that DJ will become a shadow of his former self.
You don't see any way that he can be a 20-point scorer alongside Cotton?
Nah.
Neither.
Nah, they look for the same shots.
Almost
They run off the same. They want to run off the same screens. They want to take the same triples. Like, Cotton's just a better version.
Yeah, a much better version and better off the dribble. Yeah, better version. You said it best. Yeah, that could be a little bit explosive because neither one's going to take a backseat. That's for sure. So that's bad. I just want to go back to Harrell. Is Harrell a loss for the league?
Yeah, he is.
He was such a face.
Obviously, they had him on the splash page of the thing. Have you heard much about Beat the Coach competition?
Yeah, the super coach. That's all gone. That talk about just fantasy's not big in my world, but it's big for some people. And they've made a turkey of the app and the super coach. So it's just like, oh, God, NBL, come on.
Yeah. Just funny. They were promoting the heck out of that. And then obviously they had to pull it because think about all the merch they'd made with Harrell.
And all the graphics and all that sort of work. I feel so bad for him. I feel terrible. And Adelaide just having no clue, by the way. It's very Adelaide. 36 is going to 36, right? I mean, just caught out by a player who tested positive for drugs ages ago. And now there'll be the tell-all, and it'll be such bullshit. It's like, mate, you tested positive for drugs and they banned you. Like, it's the most boring story. It's over. Moving on. Anyway, Adelaide, can I say top 14 for you? Very early predictions, but top four?
They have to be. They've got Bryce Cotton. And that having Bryce Cotton will get you to the semifinals. We know that.
Wins you one in the semifinal. Perth won one last year against Melbourne. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. They're a top four team. I kind of ask, how definitive are you, looking at these games in the early season, are you quite confident in saying you've got a really good sense of who are going to be the top four and the top eight and who's going to be the bottom four?
Oh, it's still pretty early.
It's pretty early. Like, injuries can do things. Shake, though.
But I think probably if I think about it, I've got an idea. What have you got?
I'm pretty confident. Like, I look at Adelaide and go, there's nowhere they're not top four, top six. That's just guaranteed. Yeah. Top four more than likely. We'll go through them and I'll ask what you think.
Yeah, okay. Let's keep going.
Let's go to Brisbane. What do you think? A lot of talk about their coach. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I was annoyed with the telecast because I'd missed their first game and I thought, I'll watch this Adelaide game and get a vibe on the coaching. Every time there's a timeout, the cameras would flip over to the Adelaide bench.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to see the Adelaide bench. I want to see the Brisbane one. I thought it was funny. Stu Lash just seemed to be like on the sidelines kind of cosplaying as a coach.
Totally.
Like he was kind of standing, clapping,
yep.
But then not really saying anything constructive, not really getting in the ear of the referees the way a good coach will. Just kind of like he was dressed up as one.
Yeah. It's like if you brought a Russian peasant who'd never seen the game and just showed them one game and said, like, all right, now you've got to take on the persona of that person.
Yeah.
It's like Bad Boy Bubby on the sidelines, if you've seen that film. Not in many ways, but just in like the mimic kind of way. I think Mark Worthington, the tweet, put it best. He was savage, but, you know, I'm assuming honest, and just said, this, what is going on? And we all kind of saw it. So I think they're in trouble for that reason. And it seems to have really affected Jalen Adams. He just looks so decent in game one where they beat Cairns, I want to say. And then just totally just frustrated, fed up, bored in the loss to Adelaide. He was just like, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
Guys don't know where they're going. He was just so frustrated. I felt bad for him. He's not going to have a great year, but I still felt frustrated for him.
It was fun to see Lamar Patterson just jump out there and
he looked great.
Have another crack.
He looked great.
He wasn't shy getting the shots up, was he?
He looked in the best shape we've seen him in a while. He's a really good player. I think he was NBL second team 3 or 4 years ago. He looked great. The other guy who looked great was Harrison. He's just going to rack up stats. He's having a 20 and 10 year, and good luck to him. Adams was totally missing quarter four against Cairns. Just tired, indifferent, didn't give a shit. So that's a huge worry. They play with no science, all art. They're just they're a team. They're a team by an art, no science. There's no thought. It's just kind of blank canvas and do what you feel with the colours across the court. They're not going to be good. Bottom 14 for you?
Yeah, they're bottom four.
Bottom two?
For sure. No.
There's talent there, eh? Because so. Prather looks so good.
Yeah, Adams is capable. Quality. Like,
Harrison's great.
Prather's so strong.
He is massive.
You just watch him. He's a beast. He's fun to watch. I like Casey Prather. But no, there's just not enough there. And it comes back to leadership, doesn't it? I mean, it's making John really look like genius.
Yeah, totally. And I just think, I think they're a bottom two for me. I'm pretty definitive. Whenever there's this sort of organizational stuff, guys are just looking for their own, looking at their next gig. And if it's, well, Brisbane, so most guys will be moving to Cairns, but or they're going to Europe or something like that. So I think it's going to be an absolute disaster.
Just got an off-the-cuff question for you, right? Is DMAC, is he the coach in the league that has been involved in the most coaching blow-ups of all time? If you look back across his career.
There's the kind of Anstey stuff in Melbourne, I want to say.
Was he there for that? Yeah, and then he was head coach, then he was taken out, and it was a lot of back and forth.
The characters there. I mean, Lash has got two assistant coaches who've both been head coaches. It's just and guys who just will be willing to push him aside, knife him, and capable when they get the head job, either one of them. So it's just poised for disaster. And the owner's friendly, like, oh, it's going to get way worse before it gets any better.
We better hurry up.
We got to go through
a bunch of teams to get through.
Cairns. Are they good or bad? It's hard to tell, eh?
Don't know. Jack McVay's coming good, isn't he?
He's got the weirdest
Andrews
game.
Guy looks like he could be all right.
I liked Andrews. Even in game one, I was like, he's confident. He's capable.
Yeah.
How did they win against Brisbane, though? I mean, they just almost threw it away at the end. Yeah. We have a WhatsApp group that summed up McVay pretty well. He's a specialist taking on Moore. Do you think he's living up to that, Bill, or do you still have some sort of mild concerns?
I think Jack McVay is quality in this league. Like, there's no doubt. The guy's like, he's a scorer, and he'll get that done. He's getting near triple doubles now, so he's fine. I don't ever worry about him. If they get Wardenburg back,
he's not coming back for ages. Yeah. He's not coming back for ages, that Wardenburg fell. Can I ask, as they are currently constructed, Wardenburg, give or take, this is a top 8 team for you?
No, they're in the bottom.
Not by a lot, though. Competitive, but I'm still kind of like, not sure.
Yeah.
Moving on. Let's go to Illawarra.
Yep.
McGee. I thought he was going to be...
I only saw bits of this game.
Same. Yeah, can't comment too much.
But by all accounts, he tore it up.
Yeah, he had just massive.
He looks massive on the court, doesn't he?
He looks so big.
He's just a big guy.
Tall and long-armed. He's just shooting over everybody. I want to make this point, and I kind of bring in Jaron Riley here with this, but McGeehan really kind of proved, and the NBL's been an NBA kind of copy for a while now, but McGee and Riley kind of proved something, a bit of a point of difference for the NBL. If you're a fan out there and you're new to the league, two things to kind of go, okay, why am I watching this instead of the NBA, which is a huge question for people.
Yep.
And McGeehan really proved something for me, the son, Jaron. McGee was this like nothing role player in the NBA, and everyone's like, oh, laughing at him, like clumsy on the court, ha, ha, ha.
Shaqt and a fool.
And then you realize, oh, shit, if given a little bit more rein and depended upon and given a different role, this guy's a hooper. This guy's fantastic and super big, super strong. On the NBA court, looks like a joke, but when you actually kind of – not that the NBA – minimizes what he does, but it's just a matter of there are guys who are better than him, and he's on a team that just so happens to have six basketball players of a million people on the planet, and these six are the only guys better than him. So that's where the NBL is fun, where it's like a guy that can come here and just show you what they're capable of. And you know, branching off a little bit, really, I mean, no sport in the world outside of the NBL do you get to a point where a DP on $65,000 or thereabouts, nothing, is going to play over a guy making 10 times that amount and produce. You barely see it in the AFL. Most premier sport leagues have a sort of chain of command where they would never betray a star like that. They just ride it out because they're on long-term contracts, and it's like death to do that. Whereas in the NBL, everything's up in the air at the end of every off-season. It's like, fuck it, let's go for it. And it was a real commercial point of difference for the NBL, and it was fun. So
that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
That's what it is. Illawarra, hard to broach this team.
I just don't know. They've lost so many players. It's hard to know whether they've actually improved or not.
Days was not a huge loss, I don't think. He was capable. No. But the Kel loss
is more
massive.
It's Kel Hyungjung Lee.
Yeah, just little bit guys. You're like, oh, now they're relying on others. And Hickey's hurt, isn't he?
Yeah.
So it's like, oof. You're already plugging
Jacori,
holes.
Jacori McLaughlin didn't do much. He was good in the preseason, didn't do much in this game. So it's a bit iffy, but I reckon they'll come good. They are the defending champions. Got to give them credit.
I'm putting them up Cairns plus, you know, like competitive, but I've got huge questions about them. Can I ask you, standard of the import thus far in NBL 26, thumbs up, thumbs down? Just across standard the board. Think about Jones and Perth and the guys Jones is a thumbs down. The guys in Tasmania are a thumbs up. New Zealand a bit thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's probably – I mean, I know everybody's saying, oh, the quality of the imports this year, best it's ever been. And, yes, on paper I think it is. In reality, I reckon it's probably a push, maybe slightly down on last season.
I agree. There's just been
too
many guys.
A couple of headline acts. You know, like you've got – well, Cotton's not an import now, so you take him out of the mix.
He's out of the equation.
But, yeah, you've got like,
McGee's been good. Like Tassie's been good. Outside of that, the Cairns guys took a while.
A lot of the imports are sitting, you know, they're on the bench.
I know, it's
weird. You know, the Melbourne guy's sort of a bit player.
Yeah, and Doyle's sort of established at this point, but he is an import. He was terrific in the games I saw. I'm with you where it's like push slash little bit down where high ceiling, The guys in Cairns have been, in Tasmania are awesome. But gee, the basement is effing low. And when we get to Perth, we'll talk about it. Melbourne, best team in the league.
Yep.
Championship favourites. No real doubt for you.
No doubt. The definite championship favourites. Whether they maintain it over a season, like whether other teams catch up, but they just know what they're doing.
I agree. And they've always had a bit of a pinch point on offense where, gee, they get late in the clock and Dellavedova had to do stuff for them last year. And now it's Doyle and he's just eating it up. Just eating it up. Best situation for him. I've never seen an import switch teams and have a better occasion. Let's go to Golding. A plus or minus his return. Could it be addition by subtraction?
I actually got confidence in that guy these days.
Agreed.
Like a younger Golding, I think it would have been negative because he'd be like, oh, I've got to show you how good I am. Mm. You know, but I think now, I think he'll just mesh.
Do you think he comes off the bench?
I'm feeling really positive about him. Yeah, probably. I reckon that's good.
He came off the bench a couple of years ago.
I think he might finish games. He might finish games, but I don't know if he'll start him.
Agreed. Fun. Let's move on. Perth. Whew. Where do you start? The loss at home. What was worse? What was a worse loss? Oh, sorry. I'll rephrase it this way. What would have been a worse loss? The New Zealand on the road, had they just not had the most amazing fourth quarter in the history of basketball? Or that loss at home to a tired Southeast Tasmania on the second of a back-to-back?
Tasmania.
What would have been?
Oh, I think losing to New Zealand would have been a worse outcome.
I think the loss, opening day, no cotton. In comes Tasmania on the second ever back-to-back. They've travelled from Tasmania, no small travel, and they lose at home with all these new guys. I thought that was absolutely pathetic. I was so embarrassed. The club would have been like, you have to come out and play well. And the import who they replaced Cotton with laid an egg. It's just, yuck. And the import they signed quickly in Windler did nothing. I thought that was that was a shitty performance. That was dreadful. But sorry, I interrupted.
It was kind of funny. It was kind of, I had to laugh. It was just like, watching it, it was like all the chickens coming home to roost at the same time. Yeah. Like the no regrets situation. I mean, we got to address this, right?
Yep, do it.
So, Danny Mills, no regrets about giving Bryce Cotton 3 days to sign a contract or whatever. Who knows what the reality of that story really is? But they let him walk. Right, he was going to walk. And if he didn't want to come back, it's because they didn't create an environment where he wanted to come back. And you do whatever you can to keep a guy like that coming back.
You match any offer.
His name's all up over. Yeah, and his name's all up on the honour boards. You do what you say, Bryce, how can we make this club work for you? And you change everything to make it work for
him.
Don't
like the coach, not a problem. We'll lead his contract.
That good. Yep.
That's what it came down to. I feel a bit, Bryce Cotton. I like Bryce Cotton. We love Bryce Cotton as a player, and we had him on the pod. He's a good person. But that whole, like, oh, really, and I good, it's like, no, you weren't, okay? Yeah, maybe personally, I wouldn't run him down in my car. Like, yeah, that doesn't mean you were good, though. I heard from very, very credible sources that Cotton was like, that guy can't coach worth shit, and I hate playing for him. So that, I know people say one thing. It's like, yeah, I'm sure you're friendly. I'm sure you don't mean each other harm, but you don't need each other well either. And that was that
you don't
was
want
a
to work together.
Yeah. You don't want to work together. And that's totally fair. But the Wildcats had to go, we're just going to have to eat 2 years of Riley. And, that's sad for John Riley. He's a nice guy, I'm sure, but that's basketball. It's business.
So what you have is you have his replacement come out, and as you say, lay an egg in that first game. Mm. He comes out in the second game, lays another egg. Meanwhile, the guy that you let go just calmly comes out and splashes 39. Like, come on.
I know.
It's just embarrassing, and they should all hang their heads in shame, and everybody should get sacked.
I want to say two things as well. One word is relevance. I was speaking to a friend in Perth, an older friend who's, laissez-faire about the NBL and basketball, but a Perth local, so you know all the sports teams. And I said, name someone on the Wildcats team. And he could actually choke out Wagstaff. I had to coax him along. He was like, whoa. I was like, Wagstaff? He's like, oh, yeah, that guy. Couldn't do it. Could name the starting five of the 90s Wildcats, but couldn't name. And I just said, but he did spit out Cotton. And I go, no, he's left. He's like, well, shit, he was the club for 10 years. And you just don't find that around the corner. And people have said this 1,000 times, so we're not going to go over it. But you've lost all your relevance in the very town, the only town that it matters in. And that's really sad. But the other thing I wanted to say about Perth is, Jones. we've rubbished him there, and he had two bad games. But you bring in a player with 6 days, you fly him from the US, and he has 6 days in the country before he's playing a game in a really pro league with a coach who's a little bit sort of roll out the balls and, you know, licking a promise, and he gets torched. Yeah. I'm not surprised that he has been set up. He certainly has been set up for success. I don't want to say he's been set up for failure, but pretty close. So I want to actually take a little bit of the stress off the guy, but there's just been no roadmap for him to be successful, and it's not fair.
And I think a lot of these, you know, he comes over from the G League probably thinking that NBL is not that much of an
Or he's been thinking, it's the same as the league. G League, and they're just going to roll the balls out. I've been here for fucking 20 minutes and I'm about to play my first game. And then he's like, oh, shit, these guys are in my pocket. And it's...
Yeah, they play defense. That's the big thing about the NBL that the international players seem to get surprised about, is the level of defensive intensity.
He's like, oh, my God, I'm facing defensive pressure at the foul line to my three-point line. Just totally threw him off. Sorry, I interrupted.
Yep. No, I was going to say, NBA proper, you don't get really hardcore defense until the finals. Yep. NBL G League, I mean, you just don't get defense.
No.
It's only in Europe and here where it really cranks from in every single game. And he did not do well in Europe in his short stint.
Yeah, so be blunt here, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs down. He's slow as well. He's just slow. He's glacier watching him do
anything. I'm glad you said that. I was watching his game. I was like, oh, this guy relies on the whistle a lot. And I'm like, this is the NBL. That whistle is, good luck with that. That whistle is up and down. So hopefully he's good at going, okay, this is what they call a foul and adjusting. But if he's thinking what he got calls for in the G League is going to work over here, it's like, nah, man.
Yeah,
he's in trouble. Yeah. So, if I'm being brutal, I want to say thumbs up. It's two fucking games, but I have to say, if I'm a betting man, I'm not putting my money in with Jones.
Are they in your top four?
Oh, they were at the start of the season because I liked their sort of balance and everything. But gee, to play like they did in New Zealand, to be down that much, but I can't deny the fact that I like the team of like Jones, Detch, JLA, Doolittle. They are four really solid players. They're better than Brisbane. They're better than New Zealand. They're better than Cairns. They're better than it's getting a bit tight now. Better than Southeast Melbourne, or at least should be. So already you're up at the table, but really, this team is on a knife's edge. It could blow over it with a feather. Wow.
It's going to be a fun one.
What are you thinking?
I probably think they're just in. I think they've got enough to get in. Like if they work out how to use JLA properly as well.
Oh, he's a killer. We dumped on this team, but him and Doolittle are fucking awesome. They are. If they want to score, they're going to score. So
they're just going to feed the ball into the block.
Who are you starting?
Back like the 90s Wildcats, like how they used to feed Fisher, Vlahov, Paul Rogers.
Dude.
Like, you just need to go back to that
style. A little
style.
Funky action where, like, you know, Doolittle's catching it at the foul line. And like doing a down screen for JLA, who's cutting up, and like you can do all kinds of fun stuff with those two. And instead, they do none of it. Can I ask who's the best five on this team? And is Jaron really in that combination? Is he going to play again? Do you think we'll see him again in any impactful way?
He's going to be starting. Best five, God.
Because they started JLA. That Russo Nance kid. I'm not mad about him.
Yeah, you got to have. I reckon it's JLA. Theoretically, JLA.
Doolittle.
Windler, Doolittle, probably then Jones.
You paid him.
And then bring in Sunday Detch.
That's a good five. That is a winning team for sure. And then the other one is Wagstaff is pretty capable in spurts.
Yeah.
And then who's their other wing player? Like Pepper's shot poorly. Guys just don't know where their spots are.
Yeah.
And guys who should shoot and play well just aren't. Oof.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Enough of them.
Southeast Melbourne. Can you rate this team?
They play good. They play good defense, but they don't have enough. They need someone to score the ball.
Yeah, I know. They just don't have it. And for that reason, are you in or out?
I'm out. Nathan Sobey. I know what I'm getting with that guy.
Well, last year though, and I'm going to get a massively winning team. They were good. Team.
Yeah, nah. I'm out. I'm out again.
Okay. All right. Oh, they play D and D wins in the NBL. I'm actually kind of higher on them than I was in the preseason.
Really?
Yeah, I just like the way they play.
Depends on who they get as a replacement import for Vrenz Blyenberg.
Yeah, I like that they've got options. And their owner's pretty vocal. Rami something something.
Rumi Chowdhury.
Insert name here. He seems to talk a lot and be relatively, so they're probably going to get some. New Zealand, worst team in the league?
Yeah, they're shit.
They just suck, eh? They just suck. I don't know. I like their balance of the roster and Parker Jackson Cartwright, but where's the deficiency? What's the problem with this team?
Well, I just think they don't have enough. They don't have enough of anything. They don't have a rebounder. They don't have a scorer. They don't have, I don't know. But Parker Jackson Carr is good, right? He's quality.
Mm.
But I don't know. I don't feel like he's the kind of guy that you can just go like, all right, he's your team. This is your team. Yeah. Take us there. He doesn't have that edge to him.
Oh, they were a losing team last year, weren't
maybe
they?
Maybe that's unfair on him, but like they just don't have what it takes.
Did they have Abercrombie last year? Or had he retired already?
No, he was already out.
It's no surprise you lose a guy like that and your team shit for 2 years in a row.
Well, and they recruited, like, they brought in Ruben Tarangi. I mean, there's your first emergency SOS. Yeah. Then they've got Leafa.
Yeah.
Like, all these guys who are second rate.
I mean, the Arthur's contract, Sydney let him walk. They were like, ooh, I hope we got other options because we're not even canvassing this conversation. Like, you're out.
Yeah.
And he went straight there and he's just not – he's again shooting poorly. Had a decent, better game the last one but has not shot well. Mm. And Tarangi's just a placeholder, isn't he? Like, bless him. He's on another team getting another paycheck, but wow.
I tell you what, is there a guy that has had a more dismal career and yet – carved out a really long-serving career than him?
Wow, he's got, I think, 1 year. Didn't he win sixth man and rookie of the year or something?
Yeah.
With Brisbane,
yeah,
when he actually had a really good year?
And he shot the three ball really well that year.
Shot the piss out of it and had a great year. And, well, that was, Lamanis was still coaching.
He's built a career on that year.
And he will give you 25 to 30 just sort of placeholder NBL minutes. He won't give you much, but he won't take away. And we sound like we're really dumping on the guy, like, if he was sitting in the room, we'd be like, "You think you're a fucking star? Like, come on, give me a break."
And I think he's a really a nice guy.
Oh, don't doubt it.
Good guy to have at the training court. Like, probably he's really easy to deal with. Like, on all those levels, why he keeps getting jobs.
Yeah. And, you know, locals are a rare commodity in the NBL. But we both think they're shit in the bottom team. Yeah, moving on. Sydney Kings. This is the topic of conversation.
Yeah, they're
they
shit
they
too,
lost this game, and gee, it looked like where they picked up where they left off under Gorgian and another tired year. Dele just couldn't score at all. I like Dele in the NBL, but that was not his best performance. For you, Kenyon, are they a top four team as kind of advertised? They were a top two championship favorite at the start of the year. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I'm out on this team already.
Out in like, what way? Just, like bottom four, out of the finals, or just sort of mediocre?
Yeah, out of the potentially bottom four.
Wow. I think you're being too... I don't know. Let's hear it. This is great.
Maybe I'm being rough, but they've got... They're a team full of chuckers. You know, Kendrick Davis will score a lot of points, but as we saw in this game, he's going to... He is going to put up a lot of shots.
Yeah, like same Matthew number of points Delvedere, as attempts, you know.
Delvedere thinks he's a great shooter and isn't. Kawhi Noy is a black hole, and you know, every time he gets the ball, that's going up.
Can you? I have made a tweet about this. There was a time when Vasiljevic and Noy were on the same team at the same time on the court. Both of them they fucking love an off-balance deep three with heavily defended. They just can't. They just love it like a bear to honey. They just can't stop themselves. But sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, no, that's all right. And Jalen Galloway, probably the guy that should be shooting the ball, is not shooting it well at the moment. Mm. So. He's a risk. And you got Xavier Cooks who can't shoot. Like, it's just, there's not enough. Like, there's a lot of offense and at the same time, not enough offense.
Cooks is just not where he should be. He's just not. I mean, it's one game. So I'm actually higher on this team than you are. I actually think they'll settle. I think Davis is that's a massive project for Dellavedova and Gorgian. Yep. They recruited him really heavily. They wanted him real bad. Yeah. And I'm a little bit surprised by that. Like, why wouldn't they have gone for Cotton? They didn't think they had a chance. But
I think they just thought he wasn't in the picture.
Well, he shouldn't have been.
So Kendrick Davis was like the next. He was like the best version of Cotton that was available.
And I do quite like Davis. I think he's a guy who you've got to really funnel. You've got to put the blinkers on him and show, this is how you're going to get your points and whatever. So I actually like him. Dellavedova wins in this league. Now, maybe it was because he played at Melbourne, but I actually like Dellavedova.
Yeah, that can help.
And then Noy had a great year last year. And Cooks is capable, but Cooks is the one where I'm like, gee, his reputation and stuff has taken such a hit. He's just not that same guy. And
yeah,
there's something there. It's going to be a real nuggety season for them, but I'm still thinking they're a top four team still. Just.
Poof. Okay.
Because I like Melbourne. I like Tassie a lot. I like them. I like Adelaide. And then I look at the rest. I think there's no one really who I like much more than them.
I think the problem with them as well, they're paying Buchwal so much money.
Buchwal ain't shit, man. Sorry to be rude.
And getting nothing from him.
For 2 years in a row now. You know, they didn't get anything. Yeah. Maybe 3 years in a row. I can't remember how long he's been there. But we thought he was going to be the 3-and-D spectacular. And he fouls a lot. And he doesn't hit a single three. So you think they're in trouble. You're really out. Okay.
I think so. And we've got a question for you, Joe. Who is the less of a head coach? Brian Goodwin or Stu Lash?
Okay. I know what you're doing here. Okay. Hollywood Canyon coming in with the fucking wrecking ball questions. Obviously, Stu Lash is more of the puppet. But I totally respect the question and understand where you're coming from because – Gorgon's just like plodding around. Also, Gorgon and Bogut have exactly the same posture. One just happens to be 50 years older. They're both the lower lumbar guys. I'm like, you got to straighten up. Get a broom handle, thread it behind your shoulders and let's go. But I totally understand what you're saying. What is going on with this team? And I think that's why they're at a bit of a pinch point where they felt like Gorgon lost the locker room last year for sure. Guys were just treading all over him. And I may or may not have spoken to a head coach of another team last year who's not coaching anymore, who sort of said, I'm very excited to play a Gorgon coach team because he's letting his players – he's not the taskmaster he once was. He's thinking about something else. And he lost the locker room, so they had to spend on Dellavedova to fill in for that deficit. Mm. And they've realized, great locker room and amazing character, Dellavedova, very nutty player. Huge deficiencies on the floor that Vickerman and others covered up at Melbourne. So I do.
And then they've got Bogut comes in and he's going to be trying to assert himself.
Oh, and I feel like Bogut.
Hey, I'm the NBA guy. Like, you shut up and listen to me.
Yeah, and I think Bogut's a distraction. You don't need another voice in that team. You've got one on the floor and you pay Gorgon good money. So ride it out. Ride it out to retirement. And I feel like Bogut's that guy who's, sniffing around and sticking his beak in trying to protect his investment. And my best advice would be don't do that. You're too close to the coalface. You know what I mean? Back out,
I do know what you mean.
And I just think there's poised to be a disaster here, but I actually think the ingredients will come together enough to be a sort of knock on the door of 4, 5, 6, that sort of area. What do you think? Do you think Gorgon's toast and done?
Yeah. I mean, he will see out the season. Yeah. But I do think he is toast. He's like dead man walking.
He's old, like, man. He's just
old. Like, just let him just retire, dude. Yeah. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I agree. And we delved it over there. Just kind of
retire
like,
now if I could.
Yeah. Oh, you and me both. Jeepers. Last team. We're at the 40-minute mark. We've gone over. Tasmania. I think this is the second best team in the NBL. I think they're
second best.
Them and I think if I had to bet now on who's going to win the title, I'd actually say this team over Melbourne.
Wow!
I am super high on this team. I just think they've got a little bit more offensive. They've got that go-to. Oh, Milt Doyle. Nah, I just really like this team. The way they went to Perth on the second of a back-to-back after a gut-wrenching loss where Doyle just went, woohoo, here I am, here it is. Look at it, touch it, whatever else. And then they went there and won again. I was like, this is the heart of a champion. What do you think of Tasmania?
Okay, so I'm gonna make a ridiculous prediction here. Okay, if Scott Roth can work his magic on Nick Marshall, they'll win. If Nick Marshall continues to be the average Adelaide 36er kind of do nothing guy, they won't win. It comes down to depth, right? So I worry about the depth. And Nick Marshall is that guy, could be that swing guy that gives you a bit like what Courtnoy was for the Kings a couple of years ago. Just comes in and can blaze.
Yeah. He should be an 8-12 point scorer. 8-15.
Yep. On a good night. Just that guy you can bring off the bench, probably, seventh guy onto the court and just rely, you can get you some buckets. I worry without him performing, they're just too shallow.
I just love their imports, eh? And I just think Magne's better. Oh, the imports are
good.
Yeah.
The imports are real good.
Imports are very, very good. What's his name? Bryce Hamilton. He is strong. He is pushing guys off, not in a bad way. He is guys trying to defend him, and he lays his shoulder into them, and they just ricochet off him. He's incredible. Yeah. No, I like this team. The McDonald losses, if they had him, they'd be championship favorites for sure, because I think he would patch up the depth problems. But
yeah, I like what you say. True. But
I just, Scott Roth, it's going to be these two with Melbourne in the final, and I know what that Scott Roth Vickerman head-to-head coaching record is, and I'd be betting on Roth, who's been cantankerous, by the way. League dad.
I know, he's
stepdad after bin, a couple of fucking beers, man. He's mean. Oh dear, that's all, geez. I really got. I want to say, Isaac Humphries, going back to Adelaide quickly, talk about a career, yeah, like, Harrell getting cut, and all of a sudden he's back to the big minutes and starting, yeah. And he was kind of lingering last season and was very unafraid to be voice how upset he was about sort of, oh yeah, we're not really good and blah blah blah,
yeah,
not even minutes. Yeah. Well, now you get your chance, you know, he could be anything, and played okay, but yeah, we're gonna see what he's made.
Joe, you bringing Adelaide back, you just realized I missed a trick earlier. I asked you about the coaching. Stu Lash, Brian Gorgian. We got to throw Mike Wells into that too.
There was he, let me tell him, he's pretty fond of some funky fucking lineups where he was like, there's no one over fucking 5'10 in the backcourt. At one point he had Cotton, Isaac White, and someone else. I was like, who is this? It looked like NBA Jam when there's like two little, tiny little guys running around. I was like, this is like a carnival. And then the score got run up on him. And I was like, what is this fucking class? You got to be pretty. I feel bad for every Australian coach across the country. None of them listen because they've got better taste to listen to this shit. But
yep,
the way that they have just been, they are the lost, the last, the least, the looked over and the left behind. And the way they've just all been stabbed in the back by these incoming Americans who just get the top gig off some weird resume reputation. It is so deflating. So deflating.
Absolutely. They put they try and craft this 20-year career to become a really good coach and just get looked over because they're not American.
And basketball's not a pretty sport at the lower levels, even at the professional level. No. And to bang it out in these tin sheds on Saturdays and lightning carnivals, yeah, and then at the top level, it would be so deflating. I don't know how they do it. Yeah. My absolute credit and cap off to all of them.
Yeah, mate, exactly right.
I think we're done here. Or you got something?
Yeah, I got.
Do it.
I got one more thing. You mentioned any podcast that mentions NBA Jam is automatically a good podcast. So well done. I've got to ask you a question. If I had the opportunity to buy a restored cabinet with NBA Jam, should I buy it?
Restored cabinet with NBA Jam. What's the price?
Like, roughly, they're talking about $3,000.
Wow. Yeah, it's.
It's a lot. It's a game. Lot of money.
You could get an emulator and have it for free on every iteration of it. So for that reason,
it's probably a bad buy. Isn't
for
it?
That reason, I would say, well, what do you want it for? Like, so people can come over and look at it. Yeah, kind of cool. How about you get a poster and an emulator and get really, really tanked and play it with friends? I would suggest the emulator. So for that reason, I'm out. That's it. Guys, NBL Pocket Pod. Every 2 weeks we're hoping to do a pod. Canyon and myself. Always
back,
fun.
Baby.
I don't know, 48 minutes. I thought we were going to be out here in 20.
People are going to be shocked. They're going to see this in their feed. They're going to be like,
I
know. Whoa.
I think it's a good show. I mean, if I can say it about myself, I think it's a good show. I'd listen. Whatever.
Nobody else says it.
May as well. Canyon, such a pleasure. Ciao.
See you, Joe.